First of all, I want to say good morning. Hey, how are you all, ladies? How are y'all doing? As they say in the South, how are y'all doing? I think I heard most of you say, I'm fine, or I'm good, or I'm okay. Isn't that what we usually say when somebody says, hey, how are you? Good morning. I can remember passing people, you know, at work, you run up the stairs, somebody's running down, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, everything's good. But really? Is it really? Is that a lie? Are we being truthful? Most of the time, I don't think people have the half hour if they really sat down with us and you said, well, I'm not doing so good today. Things are awful. Would they really want to hear what's going on with you? I don't know, probably not with me anyway. But we think about that. We say that as a pat answer. And most of the time I'm thinking, is that being truthful or am I being hypocritical? Several years ago when I was still working, we had an opportunity to do a review, or what we called an internal review at work. And I was really excited about this process. The way it works is you get people from your work and they form a committee. You come up with questions that you're going to ask. And then the people on the committee interview individuals and focus groups to find out how people really feel about the work environment. I thought, this is great. I love this. I'm going to volunteer for this committee. I never did this before. So there were a group of us that were on this committee. We all met together and decided, let's see, what questions are we going to ask people? We really want their honest opinion about how they feel about working here. The goal is, what are we doing well and how can we improve? And I was told that being on this committee, as I interview these people, their comments will remain anonymous. So if they had any good ideas, they had criticisms, concerns, anything we can improve, don't worry, there's no repercussions, no backlash. Your comments will be anonymous. Ah, I heard somebody laugh. That's good. Well, I thought, this is great. I'm so excited about this. People will really feel ready to share what's on their heart and their mind. Well, after we did all of our interviews, we all got back together. And I just want to back up a step and say, the thing that I said to people before I interviewed them was, now you know, your comment is going to remain anonymous. So don't worry about what you say. Just tell me from your heart what you really feel about work. And we interviewed everybody. Didn't matter how big or how small your position was. Everybody at work was interviewed. When we got back together in the conference room around the table, each question was read one at a time. Then each one of us would take a turn going around the table in round robin style, sharing our answers. It came to me, to my turn, to share my answer. I gave the comment that was said, and someone said, who said that? Was it so-and-so? I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I was told this was supposed to be anonymous. I said, I can't tell you that. I can't give you names. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, am I really hearing this? I thought this was supposed to be anonymous. Do you really want the truth, or are you being hypocritical here? Maybe you really don't want the truth. I don't know. It doesn't sound like you do. You just want to hear what you want to hear. Another time we had a suggestion box, and you probably know where I'm going with this. We had a suggestion box, this huge cardboard box that was in the lounge where we all meet and gather and chill and relax. And you could write any suggestions, comments, anything like that, that you had on your paper, put it in the box. You didn't even have to sign your name. So people would feel free to share and be comfortable and speak their mind. Okay, the suggestions were put in there. Then at a meeting, the box was there on the table, and our administrator pulled out one and read it. Thought, wait a minute, that's not a good idea. Who said that? Let's get rid of that one. Pulled out another one. Oh, I don't like this idea either. So, that was the end of the suggestion box. In my opinion, he didn't want the truth. He just wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. Let's take a look at our scripture for today. I've entitled the message, Truth or Hypocrisy. And I'm reading from Matthew 15. I know today's lesson is from Matthew 14, I believe, in our groups. But today, we're looking at Matthew 15, verses 1 to 20. Then from Jerusalem came scribes and Pharisees and said, why do your disciples transgress and violate the rules handed down by the elders of the past? For they do not practice ceremonially washing their hands before they eat. He replied to them, and why also do you transgress and violate the commandment of God? for the sake of the rules handed down to you by your forefathers, the elders. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses or reviles or speaks evil of or abuses or treats improperly his father or mother, let him surely come to his end by death. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother what you would have gained from me, that is, the money and whatever I have that might be used for helping you, is already dedicated as a gift to God, then he is exempt and no longer under obligation to honor and help his father or his mother. So for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority and making it of no effect. You pretenders, hypocrites, admirably and truly did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far away from me. Uselessly do they worship me, for they teach as doctrines the commands of men. And Jesus called the people to him and said to them, listen and grasp and comprehend this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth. This makes a man unclean and defiles him. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were displeased and offended and indignant when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the roots. Let them alone and disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a ditch. But Peter said to him, explain this proverb, this parable to us. And he said, are you also even yet dull and ignorant, without understanding and unable to put things together? Do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the abdomen and so passes on into the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasonings, and disputings, and designs, such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, and irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defile him. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean or defile him. Let's say a quick prayer, ladies. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, we want to see and hear what you have for us. So, Lord, I ask for attentive hearts and ears and for you to speak through me today, this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've heard a lot already about truth or hypocrisy. Well, that's my title for today. And as we look at verse 1, the Pharisees are already challenging Jesus. And they're saying, Lord, why didn't the disciples wash their hands? Because according to the Pharisees, this was one of their traditions. You know, traditions were a big deal to them. And if anyone transgressed against them, it was considered to be like committing a crime. On a side note, the Babylonian captivity of Israel occurred in 586 BC when the Babylonians captured and held the Jews for 70 years before they allowed them to return to Palestine. So after that period of time is when the Jewish rabbis became well known for creating all these traditions and ideas, rules and laws that they should follow, but they weren't written down. They were oral rules and regulations that were passed down. In Mark chapter 7, 3, it says, the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they gave their hands to ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they washed their hands, whether they needed to or not. This was a tradition, and observed many other traditions. Besides washing hands, they washed just about everything, their cups, their pitchers, their kettles, their silverware. Can you imagine washing your hands so many times? You know what happens. Your hands get dry and cracked and you have to put lotion on, and I can't imagine, but this was one of their traditions and they were sticklers about following it. Well, Jesus has a response for them in verses 3 through 6. And I like how he responds. Oftentimes he'll ask a question. He doesn't really answer the question. He'll ask another question in response. So he says, to the Pharisees, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" So how can the elders who are making these traditions even begin to compare to God and his commandments? So Jesus put the Pharisees on the spot here. The Pharisees, in looking at the disciples, were looking through points that they had in their own eye, and the disciples really had just tiny specks in theirs. So it's like the pot calling the kettle black. Oh, look at these guys. They're not washing their hands. They're not following the tradition. But the Pharisees had all these traditions, rules, and laws that they were sticklers about following just so. If we look at the fifth commandment, it said to honor your father and your mother. So a commandment superseded a tradition. It had more importance than the traditions that the Pharisees were creating. And Jesus said, regarding the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother, he said, it's the child's duty to honor the father and the mother and to provide whatever they need. Exodus 20:17 says, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Jesus said that to deny one's parents was the same as cursing them. So parents were supposed to be honored, revered, cherished. And this is the first commandment with a promise. In Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. But the Pharisees, you know, these are the wise guys, the tricky guys. The religious leaders of the day figured out a way that they could avoid this command to honor their father and their mother. They felt that it was better, in their opinion, to devote a monetary gift to the temple treasury rather than to give to their needy parents. So as we do today, we would expect the Pharisees to set aside a portion of their wealth to help their parents in their old age, just as many of us do or have done. When my father was aging, we made sure he was taken care of. He lived with my brother for a while, and then he lived in the veterans home for a while where we knew he would get good care, and it was our job to make sure that he was taken care of. But back to the Pharisees again, they found a loophole in this command. They said, well, you know what? Instead of taking care of our parents, we believe that tradition says it's more important to give to the temple, to God's work, than to care for our elderly parents. Parents, don't expect anything. Don't expect anything from these guys, because in their mind, they were doing what was right. They were honoring God by devoting their money to the temple and disregarding this commandment. So Jesus' response to them is, you hypocrites. And I looked up the definition of hypocrisy. It says it's the contrivance of a false appearance of virtue or goodness while concealing real character or inclinations, especially with respect to religious and moral beliefs. Hypocrisy may involve dissimulation, which means concealing one's character or your real thoughts or your feelings. In psychology, it's the failure to follow one's own expressed moral rules and principles. Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, I can't go to that church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. I've heard that. I thought to myself, now wait a minute. I'm one. So are you. And we're all here, right? Church is full of hypocrites. God doesn't look at that. That's why I'm here. I'm here to grow in my knowledge of God, so I'm not as much of as a hypocrite as I am. That's the goal here. There was a man by the name of Joseph Bailey who said, Jesus warned his disciples, we must beware of hypocrisy, pretending to be something we aren't, acting with a mask covering our face. Hypocrisy is a terrible sign of really what's in our hearts, and it waits only for the day of exposure. I thought that was really interesting. So whatever is in is eventually going to come out. Neither men nor angels can discern hypocrisy, the only evil that walks invisible, except to God. One time there was a man who sat through a church service, and then on the way home, he fussed about the sermon, he fussed about the traffic, he fussed about the heat, he fussed about the lateness of the meal being served at home. And his son was watching him all the way through this post-church experience. And just as they were beginning to pass the food, he said, Daddy, did God hear you when we left the church and you started fussing about the sermon and about the traffic and about the heat? The father sort of blushed and said, well, yes, son, he heard me. Well, Daddy, did God hear you when you just prayed for the food right now? And he said, well, yes, son, he heard me. So, well, Daddy, which one did God believe? Good observation by the son. Jesus quotes Isaiah 29 in our passage. As he was describing the Pharisees, he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." But Jesus goes on to talk about what is clean and unclean. And this might sound like a riddle to the common person, but to the Pharisees, they took great offense to this. Their focus was on food and drink that you put into your physical body. Jesus said, "No, guys, wait a minute. That's not the real problem. It's our thoughts and our acts. It's what's in our heart that comes out." And back in the Old Testament, we know that food was classified as either clean or unclean. And in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, the Bible differentiates between clean and unclean. But I didn't want to get too much into that. So the Pharisees just really focused on the food that they were eating, you know, so that they would look good on the outside. They would be presentable. But the real problem was in here, right? It was the sin in their heart. So as the Pharisees took offense and the disciples said to Jesus, "Wait a minute, Lord, how come the Pharisees are offended here?" Jesus already knew that the Pharisees would be offended. They started to show their true colors here, in that their motives here were to find fault with Jesus, as they always were. So Jesus replied to them, and he said, "Every plant that isn't planted by God will be uprooted. Therefore, the Pharisees who appear to be religious will be plucked out of the ground along with the weeds." So the Pharisees being planted in shallow ground, not the good soil as we talked about previously, they're just going to be pulled out right along with the weeds. They don't have deep roots. They're not established. They're living on rules and traditions, not based on what's in the heart. And Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, it's like the blind leading the blind. You've heard that expression. So you have a blind person leading a blind person, and then they fall into a pit. Well, they don't have good direction. Blind person will mislead you. So Peter asked, "Lord, we need clarification here. What do you mean by this parable? What are you talking about? What do you mean it's in the heart and it's not following rules and regulations?" The Pharisees refused to understand spiritual truth. But you would think that the disciples who are closest to the Lord would surely understand what he was saying, right? Did you ever get so frustrated at someone? I think back to my own kids. If you have children or you're married or you have a good friend, whatever, I think this applies all across the board. When someone explains something to you and you don't understand it, they might say, "Come on, don't you get it? Really? You're not understanding this?" I'm like, "Well, can you explain it in a different way so I get it?" I can hear one of my kids saying, "Come on, Mom, don't you get this? How many different ways do I have to explain it?" Well, I think that's how the disciples felt. And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll explain this parable to you." Peter was the one who was asking. Jesus said, there's a difference between physical and spiritual food. And food here is not the problem. Food enters the body and passes through it. It doesn't cause any problems. We need it for nourishment. But it's what's in the heart, our mind and our soul. That's the problem, as we see in verses 18 and 19. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "The thoughts wear words as garments, and the acts are the embodiment of our words. Because the acts and words come from the soul, they're far more important than meat and drink." In verses 19 and 20, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." So ladies, go out there, get your hands dirty, and don't even wash them, and go eat, and you'll be good. So Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Well, that's one of the verses I learned early in life, probably through Awana or Pioneer Girls, and it's really true when we stop and we think about it. The heart is really the problem, the part that people can't see about us. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Luke 6:45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Matthew 12:34, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So once again, ladies, it's back to, is it truth or is it hypocrisy? I had a dear friend, my friend Violet, who was 97 and passed away in February, and she used to pray for me continually, daily. And she, quite often, she would say, Deb, I'm praying that God will guard your heart. And I thought, you know, I would say to her, I need that, Vi. Yeah, keep praying that for me. We're praying for God's protection over our heart, that I would be careful about what I let in there. And she also had a piece of paper that she taped up on the wall by her phone with the words that said, watch your words. She would often get calls for prayer requests, and I know that she made a silent little prayer before she picked up that phone and reminded herself, I need to watch what I say. I need to be an encouragement, a good listener, but watch what I'm telling these people. And you've probably heard the expression, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. You probably tell that to your kids. So in wrapping this up today, I was thinking, you know, we need to guard our hearts, our soul, what's at the center of our thoughts and our emotions, the part that people can't see. The Pharisees just saw the outward part, washing the hands. Oh, I'm clean. I'm good. I'm supposed to help my parents, but I'm not. I'm going to give to the temple instead. Even when the command says you should honor your father and your mother, do what's right. Well, they didn't. They were hypocritical. So my question today is, how does this parable apply to you and me? Do we have to be really careful with our words? Do we have to watch what goes in our heart? For me, I have to say yes. What's really in my thoughts? Because what I entertain in there, in my mind, eventually can come out in my words. Do I need to make any decisions regarding my heart and my words? I don't know. Only you and God can answer that. And that's something I need to pray on as well. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. And something else came to my mind as I was preparing this. I was thinking of cyberbullying that you've heard a lot about on social media. And one of the acronyms that is used to combat cyberbullying is the acronym THINK, T-H-I-N-K. The T stands for, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? So as we close in prayer today, ladies, it's just like a combination. It's our thoughts, our minds, our words, and really, basically, it comes down to, are we being truthful or are we being hypocritical? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the fact that you do work in our minds, you do work in our hearts. And that's our prayer for each one of us today, Lord, that we would be conscious and aware of what goes in our minds, what's in our heart, what comes out through our mouths, and that we would speak the truth, but when we speak it, to speak it in love to those that we care about, and to not be hypocrites, Lord. And you're the only one that can help us with that. I ask your blessing on our time and our groups today, Lord, and I thank you for every lady who is here. In Jesus' name, amen.